good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and welcome to the last episode of season 3 of Jesus Plus Therapy Sis. Listen, before we get into this episode, we want to make sure we say thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you to all the listeners. Thank you for those likes, those shares, those follows, those subscribers, those comments. Listen, we are so excited about what this next season is going to bring. We have more guests. We have more great topics. And listen, even in the midst of craziness, we made it through. Season 3 was full of changes and adversities. But because of you, we are going into season 4. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you. We could have not done this without you. And so listen, hopefully you'll continue to like, share, subscribe, and follow Jesus Plus Therapy Sis so that you can see what's going on for season 4. Y'all don't want to miss it. We are already preparing. We already have special guests that are going to be with us. More special guests that are going to be with us. And we have so many great treats and surprises, because in season 4 we'll be celebrating 1 year of podcasting. Yay! So you don't want to miss it. So listen, if you are a first time listener and this is your first time listening to Jesus Plus Therapy Sis, go ahead and listen to the rest of the episode. You have time to catch up before season 4 starts.
All right. Hey, y'all. We got another episode of Jesus Plus Therapy Sis, and I'm so excited again. So last week, we had our first mail, so we made history, Father's Day. Y'all got to hear some male point of views, and he won't be the last one. He's just the first one, and so I hope you all were able to tune in to last week's episode and listen. So, surprise, so sent, guess what? I've really been working super hard. We have a website, y'all. We have a podcast website, and it has every place we are listening. So Cynthia doesn't know that, y'all. So that's what I worked on Sunday, y'all. So y'all can catch us, I think, on at least 8 platforms. No, I take that back. Probably 12 platforms up to this point. You can hear us there. We're trying to expand our audience, expand our reach. And so it takes a little bit more. We got to do better with our marketing. We're going to work on it like season 4. Look, listen, y'all, season 3, the girl was by herself for a minute, so she could do everything. She could be everything to everybody. Could be the marketer and the host and a host recruiter. So I had to limit myself. So, okay, like I've been seeing all these guests. Right. So, but my co-host is my other host. She's not a co-host. She's the other half of Jesus Plus Therapy Sis. She's back, y'all.
Back in this thing for the 99 and the 2000. You hear me? Listen, I'm so excited to be back. It has been a tumultuous journey back, but I'm here. I am here and I am excited to be back on the podcast. And like I told Sean, thank you for holding it down. Thank you for holding it down in my absence. One day we will recap the first 6 months of the year and I'll give details and context into my absence. How about that?
That'd be awesome. But listen, you said a tumultuous year. And so our guest tonight is so dear to my heart, of course. She is my great sister in so many ways. We're connected first, sorority wise, but being the Lord just brought us together. And so we have so many great connections. She's been a great inspiration to me. And so earlier this year, she shared on her social media, y'all, shared on her social media, a naked truth about her life. And so she talked about a tumultuous journey of dealing with trauma and how she got through that space and how she found not just her happy place, but joy consistently, love unconditionally. And so I'm excited to introduce my sister, my soul, Ms. Maya Allen. Hey, girl.
Hey, girl. Hey, hey, hey. Hey, y'all.
We're so excited to have you on here and to just really dig into, like, girl, you shared the whole journey. Like, how did you get to this journey? Like, what prompted you to get to this healing place?
I wanted to stop suffering. I wanted to stop putting myself through that consistent thinking of not being good enough or worthy enough or not, just the negative self-talk. I wanted it all to stop. I wanted to stop overthinking and you know, having 20 million things running through your head at one time and not being able to really focus unless you were pressed into a situation. So I kind of wanted to take control of my thought process. And most of all, I just wanted some peace.
That's good.
I just wanted some peace. I wanted peace in my heart and my mind and just to be okay with what has happened, be okay with who I am, to try to truly see that all things do truly work for my good. I mean, just almost so that I could be whole within me and not looking for validation outside of me. So I think I wanted to finally be my own complete package.
Oh, wow. That's good.
That's real. We just jump right on in there, huh? Okay,
yeah. My husband does tell me when I take a risk, I just jump all in. So, sorry. But yeah, I got tired of waiting for that outside hit of love. Because you go on that much love for so long and then you're looking for the next hit. It's almost like a drug to a certain extent, but I wanted to be my own supplier. Maybe that's what it was. I wanted to supply my own love. Once I did that, then I knew that it would increase my capacity to love. I just didn't understand how much. Because loving me more now, in hindsight, helps me love everybody else better. And then it also helps me set healthy boundaries. Like, yeah, we not finna do that today. So I wanted me.
That's good. So how did you get to this revelation? Did you go to therapy? Did you pray? Did you meditate? What got you to this revelation?
I knew, I've always known that. Okay, so when we are small, you know how they say, do not conform to the ways of this world. When we're small, we're taught to conform to the ways of this world. Mm-hmm. We're taught to follow mainstream, follow this, follow that. Even in going to church, they don't really teach you about the whole spirituality that, yeah, you can go outside and have just as much church as you can inside of a building. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not the same, but they teach you to follow all the rules, to conform to every single thing of the world. They really do. They get you in line with everything. They don't just allow you to just be. Mm-hmm. When you first get here in this world, they might for a little bit, but not too many people truly nurture the spirit of the child and help build that. Hey, let's start from here and let you, since you already had that childlike trust and connection to God, let's just start here and let's just start building your foundation to God right here. Instead of taking you inside and making you follow this rule, that rule, the next rule. It's like they don't really let you be you. It's like they start changing you from when you're small. Mm. So you, in actuality, all of us really do conform to the ways of the world in some way, shape, or form. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But just getting back to what I feel is right in my spirit, mm-hmm. that just settled everything for me. If it sits right in my spirit, then I'm feeling like that's what it needs to be. So getting back to that, getting back to just that honest to goodness love connection with God.
Mm. That's good. That's good.
Baby, that right there was everything.
That's good. I got a question for you. Was there I always say in my life, there has been a series of rock bottom moments. Usually the rock bottom moment is the thing, the straw that breaks the camel's back, that forces you to look at yourself instead of looking at the people on the outside, like maybe moms and dads, and, you know, just take accountability with the condition that your life is in at that moment. Was there a rock bottom moment that got you to the place to say, hey, I need to sit back, examine what I did and what choices I made to get me to this position that I need to maybe re-examine, take some accountability, make some different decisions? What happened to trigger you to your journey to emotional healing?
I've always been a self-examiner, or maybe a self-blamer. Maybe that was it. With the abuse, it was always my fault. You know, so I've always, to a certain extent, I was like, well, it's my fault. What did I do? Or what was it this time? Or what was the trigger this time? Or what did, you know, it was always, what did I do? What did I do? What did I do? So I've always been a self-examiner, even if it wasn't my fault. Because then I didn't understand, yeah, it really wasn't your fault. Mm. But I've always been a self-examiner since then. And then you also have to look at, I come from a family pattern of abuse. My father used to whoop my mom.
Wow.
So I ended up going into that. My sister, on the other hand, went completely away from that. So she was like, you touch me, that's it, it's over. Me, I fell into an abusive relationship. So that's where CJ comes into the factor. Mm-hmm. So once I had him, that was a rock bottom moment. When I had him, I was only 27 weeks pregnant. When I had him, we were on our way to Mississippi to see my grandmother for, because they were in Mississippi. So we were on our way there. So that was a moment, because terrified outside of my mind and 27 weeks pregnant and ending up in labor. So that's a moment there where you have to truly look at your life and your choices and where you're at right now, and terrified outside of your mind. It puts a lot of stuff in perspective. And also having moments, rock bottom moments, like going through depression after I graduated from college, because you think everything's supposed to just take off all of a sudden, and you see your life and where you are, and you don't really, they don't line up. You know, you expect you're supposed to be, you know, having this so many different $1,000 offers to start come and work with this company or this or that. And you graduate and you don't see no offers.
Okay.
And you still looking to have, and you got a child to take care of, and you still got bills to pay. And yeah, that's another moment. There are quite a few moments in life that make you wake up and realize, like, hey, where did I go wrong? You know, what did I do to make it to this spot? Because I don't like this feeling. I don't like where I'm at right now. Mm-hmm. There are several times in life where I've been in a bottom moment with just me and CJ. So CJ, unfortunately, God bless his soul, was my survival baby. And we were in the survival mode together for a really long time. So coming out of that, and in hindsight, we can both look back and say, okay, because he is soon to be 25. Lord, hallelujah. But he's soon to be 25. So going through that, and we can look back now and laugh at the rock bottom moments. Like, yeah, Ma, remember when we had this, this, and this, and it was just me and you, and we go back and reminisce, and we laugh, and we hug, and be like, man, we made it. But I guess there's too many to count, baby. Because life has levels. Life has levels. And the higher you go up in the level, the different things get, and the different your tests get.
Absolutely.
So, absolutely. Yeah, at different levels, I guess at different levels, you have different rock bottom moments. At different levels, you have different rock bottom moments. Because now a rock bottom moment for me would be, I don't even know what it would be, because I don't think I could have another rock bottom moment like I had in the past. Mm.
That's good.
Because it's just the point that you just have, if you just have that sincere peace in your heart and in your spirit, then there's not much that can shake you. It has to be something like right in the immediate family, you know, like inside the house, or this child, or this, you know, it has to be something really close in order for it to affect you, because you've gotten used to the outside world and their critics and their antics and who said what or who didn't say what, or what you did or what you didn't do, or how they measure you materially, or, you know, I'm over all that. I'm over all that. I drive a little beat up tank that I just love with my whole heart. Little Suzuki, little black beat up Suzuki, but I love that little car because she gets me from A to B without an issue. Baby, I don't care what nobody think. That little car is my heart right now. And she don't look like she worth about $1,500 to nobody, but she is priceless to me.
Right.
I'm kind of over the antics, a lot of them, that we have with the world and the measurements that they have. I don't even look at myself like that no more, as far as measuring, as far as what material I have. Because it doesn't even matter about the material anymore. It's, do you have the true happiness inside your heart? Do you have that true joy, that true peace that can't nobody really shake? Like, do you have that foundation?
Mm-hmm.
That foundation is priceless. Honey, you can have all the money in the world. You can have trillions and millions of dollars and billions upon billions. But if you don't have a joy and a peace in your heart, it is worthless.
Yeah, that's good.
Absolutely.
That is so good.
It is worthless.
So what do you think is something that you feel like each person, I heard you say, like, you need this joy in your heart, so that inward thing, right? And not comparing this, spirit of comparison. Speaking of comparison, was there ever a time in your life that you struggled in that area?
Maybe my whole life I did. And that was another reason for the depression, because you felt like society thought you should be so far, and I was comparing myself to so-and-so, and they have this, and they have that, and they have, you know, or she got this banging body, or she got this, or they going over there, or, you know, just to see things to look at social media now as opposed to then, looking at social media then when I was comparing myself to other people will put you in a depression, doubt. When they say it's the thief of joy, baby, it is. Mm-hmm. It will take every little piece of joy out your spirit because you look at what you think they have because that's what they're showing you. Mm-hmm. You're looking at what you think they have and then you're looking at your reality. Mm-hmm. And they don't look the same to you. Or you're comparing like, oh, well, I'm a little bit better off than that person. Baby, that stuff don't be more matter. It does not. Comparison is truly a thief of joy. I did. I used to compare myself to this one, to that one. And honestly, growing up, I used to compare myself to my sister because I used to see how many people just loved her, just wanted to get close to her, how she would get the attention. It was like, ooh, ooh, I want to do that because you see the love. Mm. You know, you see, at least you think you see it. No, it's not really love. But you think that that's what love is, the attention and the wanting to be next to you. But that's not really love. It's not. And I wish and I want to teach our daughters to just have that love for themselves. Just you can celebrate whatever, whoever. And it does not take away from you.
That's good.
Them shining, their light does not diminish yours. It might not be your turn, but it don't diminish your light.
Mm-hmm. What are some what are some takeaways you feel like, you know, you want our audience to have when it comes to this space?
Be open to it. Don't be so closed off. Be open to the healing process. Healing isn't a pretty process. It's ugly as hell. Excuse my language.
It sure is.
Healing is nobody tells you that. Nobody tells you that. Nobody tells you that you're gonna have mood swings, baby. Gonna have the doubts. You're going to have the days where you just lay in the bed and cry profusely for no damn reason. Mm-hmm. All you know is that you got grief and trauma in your body and it's coming up and you need to just holler.
Absolutely.
Do it. Do it. It's ugly. It's nasty. Them feelings can feel like your whole heart about to come out your throat.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It can. It honestly can. We showed the other side of healing. And this isn't complete healing because I still have a trigger every now and again. Don't get me wrong. I do. I'm a work in progress. Progress. I am not completely healed, baby. Yeah. But I acknowledge my faults. And then if I know that there's a trigger, then I immediately check me instead of checking what the person did. Instead of sitting up there and saying, but they did this to me. No. Why did that action that they did trigger you?
Oh, that's good. That's good.
Why did that action trigger you? Why did that action make you feel like you needed to reply with what made you feel like you needed to choose violence today, baby? What was it that made you feel that way? What was it that made you just get up on the, what was it? Because whatever that is, we need to dig that up and deal with it because we don't want to give anybody that much control over our space and our keys. Absolutely. We want to be whole and complete in our own right. We don't want to give nobody that inch to know that they even have the ability to phase me.
That's good. That's good. Yeah.
So good.
And stop worrying so much. If you can't control it, don't worry about it. Yeah. I know, easier said than done. I got you. I got you. But baby, look, let me tell you how the Lord works. So the Lord be like, Hey, I got one, but actually this one. Hey, say, I need you to go get Shandrika's attention right quick because she finna go the wrong way. I need you to go holler at her right quick, snatch her up right quick. Don't you hurt her. But I need you to get her attention right quick. I need her to stop and be still for a second. So he let him go do his thing. Okay, so he got your attention. First thing you do is what? Pray. Mm-hmm. First thing you do is pray. And if you pray or not, I mean, and you may surrender and listen for a response or you may not, but he got your attention. Mm-hmm. He got your focus back on him.
That's good. Yeah.
And then you sit up there and you pray for something. You pray for something. You pray for something. And then you say, here, God, have it. And then as soon as he about to pick it up, you go and pick it back up. Well, no, because see, I'm worried about this detail and this detail right here and that one right there. And then, so once you finally let go and be like, and finally let go and give it to him, baby, that's when he works.
That's good.
When you finally surrender and you turn it loose, that's when he works. That's when he handles it. That's when he takes care of it. Because he ain't gonna fight you for the issue. Mm. God is a gentleman. He allows you your own free will. God is a gentleman. He ain't gonna make you do a whole lot of stuff. So he gonna let you worry about it, pace over it, walk over it, bury it, pick it back up, put it back on the drive. I mean, he gonna let you do all the stuff that you gonna do with it.
Mm.
Then once you finally turn it loose and surrender, oh, now you want me to take it? Okay, come on, I got you. And he probably just like that, shaking his head at all of us. Like, you told me you wanted me to have this. You told me you wanted me to handle this right here. I told you I got it, but you don't believe me. So you're going to sit up here and walk and walk and walk with it. You're going to pick it back up. Then you're going to sit it down in front of me again. Then you're going to pick it back up. Then you're going to sit it back down. Then you're going to look at me like, Lord, why you ain't saying that? You ain't put it down. You ain't let me.
Yeah, that's good. Ooh, I got so many good nuggets. See, what you got?
She had me hooked after the survival baby. And I'm seeing how our stories parallel a lot. This survivor baby hit me the most because of the simple fact, you know, Deanna, she's my survivor baby. Mm-hmm. And she'll be 13 this year. And literally, like, when I say we have been in survivor mode her whole life, we literally have been in survivor mode her whole life. But thanks be unto God, I feel like we are transitioning out of that. And I'm grateful to say that my child is not damaged by me being in survival mode. I thank God for the people that he placed around her while we were in survival. You know, when you said, you know, just looking back and laughing, I think about the moments, even at, you know, almost 13, we sit down and we like, Mama, she say, Mama, you remember when we came home that day and went on lights on? Yeah, I remember. You know, and it's those things that one shows how much you have grown, but it also lets you know how much further you have to go. Mm-hmm. And I think people think that healing is linear, and it is not. Nothing about healing is linear. I mean, like you said, you actually have your good days and you have your bad days. And then you have in between days, then you might have a really, really good week and then a bad week. And it literally just varies from day to day.
You have to get to a point to where you can truly maintain your own peace and joy. So you're going to have ebbs and flows. Absolutely. If you're not used to maintaining that much joy for so long, then it's going to take a bit out of you because you're not used to it. So
healing is exhausting.
Yes, it can be. It can be so exhausting and tiring.
Yes.
But baby, once you get over that little hump and that heel, hallelujah, Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And you start seeing more light than you do darkness. And then you start seeing a little bit more sunshine than you do rainy days.
Mm-hmm.
But if you got to realize, though, in and through it all, if I didn't have the rainy days, I'd never be able to appreciate the sunshine.
That is so true.
Yeah. I was about to say, do you feel like the reason why people avoid healing is because of that process? Of those ups and downs and those ins and outs and the inconsistency of healing. Because I think we sell healing as this consistent joy or this consistent sunshine with some rain, right? Because we need rain in order to grow. Water allows us to purify ourselves. But do you mm-hmm. feel like that's the reason why people avoid healing and kind of get to that place of complexity?
I think that a lot of people avoid healing because, one, I don't think they really know where to start. So that's one thing. And I know that making a conscious decision was my first step. Like, Lord, I'm tired of being separated. I'm tired of being discombobulated or double-minded. I'm tired of being all over the place. I'm tired of just finding peace when I go to sleep, and then sometimes I don't find peace then. I need better in my life. I need to be on one accord. Lord, I need to be on one accord with you. This just ain't working. And I have honest and real conversations with God. I talk to him like I'm talking to y'all. Mm-hmm. If I happen to cuss, then Lord, you know my heart.
Forgive me.
You know how I
feel. You
feel. I ain't trying to hold none of this back. I don't want to hold none of this resentment in my heart. Mm. So here you go. Let's lay it all out on the table. Lay it all out. Once I lay it all out, he going to let me know what I need to know, direct me where I need to be directed to, and we going to see if we can keep moving.
Right.
Well, can we talk about how, I know you said something about how children are conditioned into
the ways of this world.
The ways of the world,
mm-hmm.
right? So mm-hmm. what did... Because healing really is unlearning what you have learned. So what did that look like for you, that series of unlearning to get to genuine relationship with God? What did that look like for you?
Meditating, affirmations, consistency. Like I would... When I was in, right before I got to the whole, it was almost like I was pleading in my heart when I was reading the affirmations, like, Lord God, please, oh my God, please. You know, but I read them and read them and read them until they became just ingrained. It was like a good 10 minutes every morning of affirmations of I am the head and not the tail. I am above and not beneath. I am a lender and I am not the borrower. Like, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens. You know, just, baby, I can rattle them off. I'm strong. I am enough. I am whole. Like, I am a whole, complete person on my own. Baby, I would rattle them off. Like, just, even if it wasn't out loud, it might be a mumble. But, baby, they were coming out my mouth. They were coming. And it was every morning, like, because I had to work like 6-7 days a week. So other than Sunday, and then, you know, Sunday, you just got up and went to church, mm-hmm. you know, so, but every morning before work, trying to get my mind right, trying to get my connection straight, trying to make sure my mind is God-focused and centered so I can do the best that I could throughout the day. Just taking that active time with God. And now I'm seeing, now in my life, I'm seeing that if I do my devotionals now, it's not the same as if I start off just straight meditating in the morning. Like, not even opening a book, just basically, good morning, God, thank you for this day, and just go straight into meditation. Mm-hmm. It's almost like an immediate connection, as opposed to when I'm my devotionals, it's like I have to work for the connection.
That's good.
That is definitely good. Well, see, such good nuggets and things like that as we wrap up. What are some takeaways for you?
Me? I'm doing the right thing. I'm healing right, honey. I'm healing. I am really, she confirmed that my journey, like I'm right on track, and to keep at it, you know, keep at it. And I think one of the biggest takeaways for me is to always know that, one, not to compare my journey to somebody else. And, you know, as believers, whoo, child, we know we be compared. And so, you know, I have definitely allowed the enemy to steal a lot of my good days because I wasted time comparing myself or my journey to somebody else. So always being aware that my journey is my journey, and the way that I do it is the way that I do it. You know, the way I get to God may not be the way you get to God, but it's my way. And I hear him speaking and I move when he speaks. But just because I don't hear the way that you do or pray the way that you do, it doesn't necessarily mean that I'm missing God. And I think a lot of times because the way that we do it isn't the same, we shun what we don't understand. And so just definitely knowing, Cynthia, you on the right track, girl. Just keep going. Just keep going. What was your takeaway?
I think my biggest takeaway in the conversation was realizing that healing is not a one day or 2 year or 3 year journey. Mm-hmm. It's an everyday process. It is layers to this. There are levels to this. There are people and places to this, right? And not limiting to this box of what it is, right? So it's not this box. Here's your box of healing. Like, you get a box of healing. You get a box of healing. No, like, healing is definitely something that we process daily because there's something new that God will bring to our spirit that, hey, girl, you need to heal from that now. Now you're ready to heal from that, right? Like, you heal from these areas. Now you're ready to heal from this area. And once you heal from that area, then you can come over here to this area. And so to say that you're fully healed means that you're dead, right?
Exactly.
And so that was my takeaway. Is like, your healing doesn't stop because it took you a lifetime to get here. It's going to take you a lifetime to get out of it. And so your healing doesn't stop until you stop breathing.
That's good. Maya, you have blessed my life. Thank you so much for coming and sharing. And I hope Shandrika invites you again because she's over all of it, you know.
I will gladly come again. I am thankful that I can share parts of my life or journey to help any and everybody that can be helped. Because if I have helped someone just by speaking or telling my story, then like they said, used to say, my life wasn't in vain. But just know that in your hearing and talking to God, as long as what you're doing sits right in your spirit and you find your own confirmation, baby, don't worry about nobody else.
That's good.
Don't worry about nobody.
I need it, babe, because I'm on a very new journey. And it is very peculiar. I have never been on this journey before, and it's exciting, but it's scary, but it's exciting. So I'm excited, scared. But I have learned that this journey has opened my ears more. And it has broadened my ability to understand faith and move in faith, because it's a difference when you know it, but I realized in this journey that I was operating in me and not in God. And so the Bible is true. It says his strength is made perfect in your weakness. And I'm learning that it's okay to be weak. It's to be weak so that God can show up strong. And I think sometimes, you know, we forget that that's what the word says. And the Bible is true. Every word is true. And I'm learning to be weak so that my Father can be strong through me. So thank you for that.
You're welcome.
We appreciate you. Thank you so much. And yes, we have so many people who will be back on. Y'all, we appreciate you all tuning into Jesus Therapy. Just make sure you like, share, and subscribe to our podcast. We can be found on many podcast platforms. And if you want to connect with us, see what we're doing behind the scenes at Jesus Plus Services, go ahead and follow us on Facebook and Instagram. Until next time, we'll see y'all later.
Bye.